The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yeah, baby. Dr. Josh Klapo, UAB Clinical Psychologist. You're not a UAB Clinical Psychologist. You were at UAB for a while.
I mean, I have an adjunct appointment, so like I'm technically...
I'm just so used to saying UAB Clinical Psychologist.
I do have a formal affiliation with the university still.
Yeah.
I do not get paid anything. It's called an adjunct appointment.
It's not a bad thing to be associated with as a UAB clinical psychologist.
I love UAB.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm not on their payroll.
There you go.
That's it.
Well, you're not on the payroll here either.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not getting paid to be on the show.
I do a lot of things where I'm not on the payroll.
We're not on the payroll here at Vulcan either, but I want to thank the fine folks here at Vulcan for having us out every single day. They love having us out here. As you can see, there's a barricade. To my right, to your left, as you watch here.
And
we have our own bathroom here.
Let's make sure we talk about this. I want to tell you about the toilets in France.
Okay. Yeah, you just got back from France a week ago today.
Yeah, France and England.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. You talk about the dry toilets?
No, the computerized toilets.
Really?
The pods.
What part of the world where they don't have water in the toilets? Is that Europe? Don't they have toilets where you have to stand up?
Airplanes.
No, there's European toilets. There's toilets where you have to stand up. You don't sit down. You stand up and you have to squat. You have to have some killer thighs, and there's no water, and it just dumps into the thing, and then it flushes because it saves. Because we flush like six gallons of water every time we flush a toilet around here in the United States.
Hmm.
Over there, they're dry toilets. They're called dry toilets. Isn't that right?
Yeah, not in the places I stayed. Yeah. Actually, I think that's how porta potty is.
Yeah.
Right. So this porta potty was like not like that one.
Hey, a place where they do have water in their toilets is Workplay.
Hey, good.
You can flush.
I bet they let you flush as much as you like.
As many times as you want. Tommy Williams and Courtney and Grace, the entire crew down there, they don't care how many times you flush the toilet. Will Kimbrough is going to be playing later on tonight at Workplay tonight. I want to promote that big time because tickets are only 20. I think they're $25. Will Kimbrough has written the new song that Jimmy Buffett has released for Posh the Miss Lee called Bubbles Up.
Yep.
He's also written music for Mac McAnally.
Yep.
He's worked with Emmylou Harris. He's written a ton of music for Jimmy Buffett over the years, the last 20, 25 years, and he'll be playing music tonight. It's a great get for Tommy Williams because I think he had this show planned
before Jimmy
Buffett passed away, but it's just a perfect fit. So if you want to go listen to some Buffett music tonight, some of the great music that he's written for Jimmy, and again, posthumously, and I say posthumously because I can finally say that word. It took me like 50.
Is that what it is?
Posthumously.
Yeah. I always wondered how you pronounce
it. Well, it's posthumous. It's got the sith sound there.
I thought it was posthumously.
No, posthumously.
Yeah.
So check out that show later on tonight. Doors will open probably around 4 o'clock. Get down there, have a couple pops at the bar, and then check out Will Kimbrough at Workplay later on tonight. John Riley Meek, good morning to you, John. Thanks for watching this morning, and thanks for everyone watching here on the Tony Curry Radio Network. Also, want to mention that this weekend we have a grand opening of Sasquatch Toys and Comics.
Oh, it's opening this weekend.
One of our great sponsors on TKR is Seth Cosby and Ed's Pet World. They've been down there in Homewood. You could spit there and hit it right now. They've been down there for 50 years. He's opened up a brand new store. It is comics and toys from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
That's cool.
He was on our show on ABC 3340 yesterday, our show that we run at 10:30 to 11 o'clock every Saturday morning with Kip Kiefer and myself called The Starting Lineup. He was on, and their grand opening is 11:30 this Saturday, 145 Citation Court in Homewood, 145 Citation Court. Check out Sasquatch Toys and Games. Toys and Comics, they said that when you look at it from the outside, you're like, what is this place?
Right.
But then you walk in, it's magnificent.
Well, that's like it.
So it's a small little sign.
Yep.
And then when you walk in, good night. They have over 25,000 comics.
Man, he's really been like collecting inventory. That's wonderful.
Well, if you go to Ed's Pet World, you see all the pops. They've got thousands and thousands of pops. You'll see it's about 50-50 down there. Of course, they've got the exotic pets and everything else. And I've known Seth. His dad and his family. I've known him for a long period of time. I feel great.
No,
I'm actually kind of nipple right here.
I'm sorry. There's a lot of time coming. I'm just waiting to get in.
No, it's killer.
It's going to get super quiet. I know.
It's going to be awesome. So check out Seth's new place, again, Sasquatch Toys and Comics, Saturday. They open up 11:30. They're having a grand opening all weekend long. I'm going to try to make it down there. Also, don't forget our show on ABC 3340. It's going to be fantastic. It's on from, for some reason, listen, it's my first TV show. We've done TV together.
Right, but
we've
this
done
is stuff a show.
On, we'll be on Fox 6 later on this morning, but this is the first official show that I've been part of, and I want to thank Kip Kiefer from the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. He, of course, the executive director there, and he's brought me on board. And we have a lot of fun. We talk a lot of classic rock, but we also talk a lot of college football. It butts up again. This week it's going to be butting up against the Red River River rivalry.
Yep.
Not the shootout. You can't call it the shootout anymore.
No.
It's a great game between Oklahoma and Texas.
Yep.
Of course, Texas knocking off Alabama earlier this year. But it's a great show, 10:30 to 11 o'clock every Saturday morning right there on ABC 33.
I have two dear friends who will be at that game.
We'll at be on Texas, Oklahoma?
One's a Texas grad, one's an Oklahoma grad.
Okay.
They go every year that they play.
Yeah.
They go out to dinner before as dear friends.
Squirrel.
What was it?
Squirrels.
Oh, okay. As dear friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't get to see each other that often.
Yeah.
And then as soon as game time comes on, one goes on one side, one's on the other side. And they're ready to kill each other, and then as soon as the game's over, they come back.
See, that's very interesting. We always talk about a house divided, you know, when you have an Auburn gal and an Alabama guy. I've seen a lot of relationships break up over the rivalry. After they've got married, I've seen breakups because they just... And listen, if you can't figure out a marriage because one person likes this team and you like another team and that's the straw that broke the camel, you shouldn't have gotten married in the first place.
That's so pathetic.
But I was at the Titans Bengals game this past weekend with my son, and I saw some Bengals fans with Titans fans holding hands, making out, kissing, this, that, and the other, and they were married.
Yeah.
Because Cincinnati and Tennessee, Nashville's relatively close, so I can see that happening.
Yeah.
But we'll be talking about that on Fox 6 this morning at 9:35 with Janice Rogers and Mike Tuberly about when you dig your heels in so deep that you just can't see the other side. And it's to the point where you will always agree to disagree on whatever that particular point is. Depending on what that point is, we'll decipher whether your relationship will make it past that point at all.
God, that sounds like our government.
That's exactly why we're talking about it.
Yeah, my favorite part of this whole thing was when the Nancy Pelosi got the message to get out of your office.
Yeah.
We're going to need your office. This is so, what we're seeing in government is so classic relation. I mean, it's groups of people. Mm-hmm. So you can't really go that far. But if you just step back and look at it and count one side and the other side as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Because here's the other thing. When you dig your feet in that deep, you do get to a point, or you can get to a point, when it's the past the agree to disagree, where you're doing the stupidest things make you angry, you frustrated, right?
Yep.
You go from serious disagreement in a relationship, we got this, we got this, to literally the point of, I am not going to touch your side of the pillowcase because I can't trust you.
Yeah.
Or so, you know, you start getting into these, and this is what we're seeing in our government right now. So we've gone from these major issues to, we're going to need you to get out of your office. Or, I don't want to get out of my office. Like, stupid shit. Because we're dug in. And what happens is, it's so much tied up at the individual level to our egos.
Yep.
And ego, and I mean ego in a psychological way. It's this, am I, you get to the point where it's, Am I interacting with you because of us, or am I interacting with you to survive? I'm in complete survival mode, even if that's a person you're married to.
Can I make the acknowledgement that every type of disagreement or digging of the heels has been cleaned up, or there's been some type of negotiation or some type of sacrifice to even the Hatfield McCoys get along today.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
That's probably the best example, the best analogy we can make, the Hatfield McCoys hitting each other. If you ever watched the documentary, it's fantastic. I mean, they're killing each other, they're burning each other at the stake. But even they get along today. So, when you're talking about the automakers and the unions, whether you're talking about the healthcare Kaiser, about the railroads, whether you're talking about the government, whether you're talking about Major League Baseball, the NFL, whenever there's a major disagreement where you're so far apart, you're thinking there's no way they're ever going to agree, eventually they will agree at some level. Now, it may take years. It may take... And normally, you've torn each other down to the point where you almost have nothing left. In a relationship, too, you've torn yourself down, and in most cases, it's gotten very personal.
Absolutely.
You've gone straight for the roots.
Yep.
And in a lot of cases, and particularly, let's talk about relationships here, let's talk about a man and a woman where they just can't see each other's sides. And we saw that in politics in our last couple elections. It's irreparable. It's the point where there are things being said that you just can't take back.
And the difference is, in a relationship, depending on your belief, you can get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
but even then...
No, I know.
Eventually, you will see some common ground. Unless you're moving on either side of the country, or you don't want to talk to
you. I would say that's really deep. You just went deep. Because... you will see common ground, but I see a lot of relationships where it got so personal, it got so toxic and damaging that even after the breakup, even after the contentious court battles and all of that, there is a level of disdain and I don't know if it's hatred, but hurt that never goes away. Even if there's acknowledgement of, you know, we had these good times together, we share these things, it's too buried underneath the scar. So yes, in many cases, things do come together. But there are definitely cases where it doesn't come together because you've said things and done things that destroyed the relationship. You can forgive and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, what you see in relationships a lot is, and this is where couples make the biggest mistake, you can go right up to the edge. You can dig your feet in. You can be difficult. You can have arguments. But there are things that you say and do when it gets to the heart of another person that will never, never be able to be taken back.
And it's never a good idea to go there.
No,
I mean,
it's tempting.
It's nasty. It takes it to another level. Well, she said this to me, so I've got to fight back. And it never, and we always talk about pausing and praying, step back, take 10 seconds, blah, 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 blah. But once you say those personal things, that they can't be taken back. And we do remember those things. In a lot of cases, I remember the movie Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yep.
Where she took his kids away, and you're rooting for, you're rooting for him the entire movie. And you know the right thing to do is that he has time with his kids. And at the end of that movie, there's a scene where she's allowing him to watch the kids again. And he's like, why did you put me through that? And she said, what'd she say?
I don't know.
I was angry.
Yes, right.
I did some things. I said some things I shouldn't have. And I was angry with you. I was angry. And that's why.
When you say I did this because... I was frustrated, irritated, angry, upset, anything.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference. That may be true.
Yeah.
But it doesn't excuse it.
No.
We feel like if we come, we've done a whole show on it, coming clean, I am so sorry I did that, I was angry. That's great. It's great that you explain that. It doesn't change anything. And you know, we were talking about stalemate. You can be in a healthy stalemate. You can be in a position where we just cannot agree on this, but we are either willing to keep trying, we are willing to move in different directions. So stalemate in and of itself is not bad, but when it's stonewalling, which is a different term, that's when it gets bad. Stonewalling is arms crossed, turn to the other side, I'm not dealing with you.
Okay, let's say you have, we can use politics, we can use abortion, we can use any of the real big ones, where I am not going to change the way I feel about something.
Yep.
I'm not going to change the way you feel about something,
yep.
And there is friction. Now, assuming that we do agree to disagree, and it doesn't change our everyday lifestyle together. We are living together, and we have to deal with this.
Absolutely.
And it's not something we have to talk about. You're not going to talk about abortion every single day. You're not going to talk politics every single day.
Right.
You've got a life to live. But it is something that is part of your moral makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do you move forward?
Well, then you have a different decision. You have to make a decision about, can I engage with somebody, can I be in love with somebody and in a relationship with somebody who has a fundamental different moral belief? And I'm using my words carefully, because if all of their morals are different,
mm-hmm.
every single one of them, that makes it hard.
Yeah.
I think abortion is an interesting one, because... Well,
and that's something that, quite frankly, we didn't have to talk about this country for a long time.
Well, and
the staunch supporters of pro-life, pro-choice, whatever, they've always been in their corners, right? But, I mean, it's really come to the surface because of the overturn of Roe v.
Wade. Yeah, and I think here's the other challenge if we're going to go... Only on Curry and Claypo mm-hmm. would we find ourselves having an abortion discussion.
Yes.
And I think the difference with abortion and a couple...
I mean, we rip that scab up.
But listen, for the couple, it's her and him. You know, and I'll give you my political or my view. It's her. If I'm the husband, mm-hmm. I can have all the beliefs in the world.
Yeah.
My moral beliefs, my whatever beliefs, it's not my body.
Yeah.
And so I'm saying that ultimately that becomes a very strange argument if you're on different sides.
She has the ultimate veto.
Well, that's just, she does.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to say it. Like, you don't, as a guy, you don't get much to say in that.
Yeah.
You can. And listen, that's a digging your feet in. Can you? And I've seen a lot of scenarios. The guy is anti-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
She is pro-choice or pro-choice. They have a baby, or they get pregnant, and it wasn't intended. She wants to have an abortion. He says no.
Yep.
And then he is in a really difficult situation.
Because ultimately he has no say in it.
Not one bit.
Yeah.
Ultimately. You can talk about, well, it's his child. Come on. It's her body.
Yeah.
So that one becomes, that's a really, really difficult one. I think the other difference is, and if I shift a little bit, you and I can have a stalemate. We can disagree. It can change our relationship. It can change everything. If it, as a result, I won't mention, but I can think of some of your work history.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do Curry and Claypo because we disagree. Now it has a bigger impact because it's got an impact on our viewers.
Yeah.
Right. So you think about government, but you also think about business. Within business, if two executives can't agree, and it starts blowing down the business, you think about the unions. That's a great example. I mean, particularly the healthcare ones. Now we have people who are not getting healthcare, and so you start making this decision. How important is it to me to stay in this position? And sometimes the answer is, it's so important, I'm willing to risk the relationship.
Yeah.
I'm willing to risk the everything that goes with it. But the problem is, we do that, sometimes we get to that place without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're just hurt and pissed.
And I can't help but think that down the road, once you do end that relationship for whatever reason, there's always some resentment there. There's always something like, did I really think about the things in a heated conversation? We've all had a heated argument, and eventually you're like, listen, I said some things I probably shouldn't have said.
Right.
That's the problem with the whole government situation right now, the stalemate. Of course, we got another budget thing coming up in November, and right now we're wondering if that's going to happen. I have no doubt. We're going to run this country. This country's not going to end. It's not going to, so we're going to figure it out, just like the auto workers and unions. It's going to happen, so just get it done.
But you know what it also says? I'm going to be very...
That's what I hate about strikes. Every strike ends. Now, it may not be amicable, and it may not be peaceful,
but it will end.
Strikes...
We have more
strikes in this country right now than I've ever seen
in my life.
And I'm not saying it's
a
bad thing.
No, it's the price of democracy. I mean, I think... Here's the thing that I think happens when there's strikes, or in the case of our government, you know that they're going to come to a resolution. Now, in business, it's not always the resolution can leave lots of things unturned. It's not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. It's like watching a couple do stupid things in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. It's like reality TV. And, yeah. and I think that's the thing for me that's been, I hate to say it, it's been entertaining. Here's an angle on it.
It's sad.
It's sad. It's pathetic. Well, so here's the thing. You know, my kid is in.
And we voted these knuckleheads.
Well, listen. So my kid is in school in England, mm-hmm. and we love asking him. You know, like, what are you seeing on the BBC? What is happening in England and in France where your friends are? How do they see what's going on? Because we only see
what do they say?
And he's like, I'm saying it. He's like, the view of America right now is. What the hell's the matter? What's happened to you all? It's this, y'all look like, what he said is, the images of sort of bumbling clowns. Mm-hmm. That what we've done is we've gotten to this place where we've always had these kind of conversations, but it's become so public that our democracy is looking really janky right now.
Yeah, I mean... If you're wanting to start your own democracy, there's other democracies running the world right now, you're looking at us going, why would I want that?
Yes. Yeah.
And seriously. See,
and listen, as citizens...
I'm not still saying it's not the best type of government they're out there, but I mean, it's like, guys.
But that's and that's the view. And you know what? Here, and you've heard politicians say it. And what's so interesting is it's very much a bipartisan agreement that this is not a good look for us.
Yeah.
But each side's blaming the other side.
I don't want to get into politics because I don't know enough about politics to talk about. I can just tell you, as an average Joe, I know it's screwing it up, and this is a relationship between a man and a woman who is making a decision that's affecting us all. Maybe it's the mom and dad in the family.
That's like, we're the kids.
And we're all of a sudden, right. Mom and dad aren't going to be together again, or there's too much shouting, or I can't handle this anxiety, I can't handle this.
Right. Did you really tell Dad he can't have his chair?
Listen, I don't know anything about my current dad. I don't. Okay.
It's okay. You don't have to.
I just know what I see on television, yes. And I know that's biased on either way. But when I hear that Republicans voted him out because he worked too closely with Democrats, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Isn't that what we want? Don't we want? We keep talking about wanting to work together.
But that's the stalemate. Right?
Again, I don't know anything about McCarthy. He may be the biggest turd.
Maybe he's a horrible speaker. That's the stalemate. Right?
But the fact that he's working with the
group.
And I'm wondering to myself, I always wonder myself, if what I'm doing, how is it making my enemies feel? Because right now, Russia's going, I'm loving this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm loving the fact the United States is not going to be funding the Ukrainian war because they can't get together to get a budget. They don't have a speaker. I mean, it looks like mass chaos over here. The rest of the world is laughing at us and loving that. And so I always try to think, okay, we can't show our hand too much, and we already showed too much.
I'm
thinking to myself, if Republicans don't want McCarthy, then why, as a Democrat, would I not vote to keep him in? Am I missing something?
Probably.
Or is it... I mean, if my own party doesn't like my guy, and I know it's a very small number, and I can't believe that he actually said one person can actually have me voted out, if then why aren't the Democrats saying, let's keep this guy in here because it's going to be mass chaos in the Republican Party? We're talking about an election next year. We got to get, I mean,
you know, really
Republicans
got to
get their shit
together. What's really funny is we're not talking as much about Donald Trump.
No!
In court. I know, but the rest of the world... This is like must-see TV.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like a reality show. And you know what? And I can put a positive twist on this. I really can. This is the cost for the price of democracy. Mm-hmm. This is. It's just we're seeing it at worse. I mean, it is worse, but this is the price of democracy.
I'm glad you're
saying
nobody,
that. There's
your
nobody.
Glass half filling it. I love to hear that from you because that's not my the price of democracy.
Right, because there's no one person who can say stop.
Yeah. That's a great point. And I guess that's what makes democracy so great.
No, it is. I think it is a. It is a bad side effect. That's it. I'm not saying you should change it. It's like you can't. It's like a medication. This is a great medication.
That's a great point.
It's chemotherapy.
Great analogy.
It is going to cure the cancer, and you are going to feel like shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Or maybe a lot of times. This is what this is the chemo that is democracy.
You got to use it on Fox this morning.
I might.
If you don't, I will.
Okay.
No, that's a great.
Because that's what it is.
It's a great analogy.
And I encourage people. Listen, I encourage people in relationships. When it gets ugly in a relationship, you and I have talked about this in our own personal relationships. Do everything you can to keep your mouth quiet regarding the emotions that you're feeling until you can talk about those emotions while you're not feeling them.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
Say that again.
When you are in a heated, when things are getting really nasty in a relationship, you can feel it coming on. It hasn't gotten horrible yet. Do not express those emotions and put them out there until about them while you're not in the heat of those emotions. So, for example, the anger is a great example. Do not have a discussion about how angry you are when you are livid and angry. Calm the F down. Then go back and say, that made me really angry and I want to talk to you about it. And as counterintuitive as that may seem, because you should be talking about why you're feeling, it is where we get into the most problems. Because as soon as we are emotional at that level, we are unhinged.
Don't say something you're going to regret.
But you don't. But that here's the problem. If when you're jacked up emotionally, your ability to not say something, it goes way down. You've shared this advice all the time. It is, if you got to curl your toes, white knuckle your fist, hold on and have that conversation when you are in a cooler state. Because otherwise, you're going to say something that you may not regret. But you're going to say it in a way that may prevent you from negotiating further.
You got to remember there's a bigger cause, there's a bigger power. And you know where I'm going here with this. You've just got to trust. Well, you can call it God, you can call it karma, you can call it whatever you want. You got to know that if you're in the right and that person doesn't see that side, you got to allow them to find it on their own.
That is good. I did a whole Instagram about that. The pushing harder
is going to make it worse.
Yes.
So sometimes just being, and I know some people are like, it's time to fight. No, sometimes it's not time to fight.
The power move, if you want to call it a power move, the power move is the ability to see this is going nowhere and to be able to be the one who backs off. I don't mean compromise, who backs off. That's the power
move. You ever been in a debate or in a civil debate or something? It could be your favorite cartoon, it could be whatever, where someone just does not say anything, backs off. It makes you more agitated.
Yes.
Because they're not responding to what you're saying. You're waiting for it to come. And then eventually you will start seeing the other side on your own. It's difficult to do, and it may take years to happen.
Well, and you'll
see that
is
the best acknowledgement.
And when you see it,
See,
I think that's a great point. The ability to see the other person's side does not mean that once you see it, you'll then agree with it.
It means you're an adult.
It means you're an adult. It's called empathy. And it's called being civil.
Yeah.
And seeing the other side does not mean you have to agree with it, but disagreeing with the other side and then hammering your way to try to make them understand you and come to your side is stupid. This is why we have strikes.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, if you think about it, we start off negotiating. We start off, and at some point, people say, "I'm done." This is not okay. I'm done. And with strikes, it's a threat.
And that's the pause and pray. That's the 10 seconds. That's like, I'm not talking about this. We're going to get a good night's sleep. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Speaking of tomorrow morning, we're on this morning on Fox 6. You like that? 9:35 will be on Fox 6 with Janice Rogers and Mike Deberle. Don't forget, my TV show on ABC 3340 runs 10:30 to 11 o'clock every Saturday morning with Kip Kiefer. It's called The Starting Lineup. It's a great classic rock / college football show. It runs. We have the legend who's on there. He's a knucklehead. He's fantastic. He does the Tide forecast. We have Terry Quillian on there doing her rant of the day. Case Kiefer's on there giving out some picks from the Las Vegas Sun, picks from the desert. We do that every single Saturday morning from 10:30 to 11 on ABC 3340. Will Kimbrough later on tonight. Great show. He's written a lot of great music for Emmylou Harris. He's done stuff for Steve Earle. He's done stuff for Jimmy Buffett. He's going to be playing live tonight at Workplay tonight, workplay.com, to get your tickets. I think tickets are only like $25. You're talking about $325 for tickets? No, $25 gets you in the door at Workplay tonight. It's going to be slamming down there. And also don't forget, of course, our good friends down there, Ed's Pet World. They are opening up a brand new shop. Seth Cosby, fantastic shop called Sasquatch Toys and Comics. Their grand opening happening on Saturday at 11:30, 145 Citation Court. Check it out. We'll see you on Fox 6 with Curry and Klippel.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.